Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's good to see all of you here tonight. And we're going to do what we always do on Wednesday night. We're going to sing for a while, and then we'll have a Bible study. But before we do anything, we do need to pray, so I'm going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee this night, thanking thee, O God, that thou hast given us this opportunity, that thou hast given us this place where we can come together and worship thee and glorify thy name. And I pray, Lord, that thy Spirit would be here this night. I pray that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us as we sing unto thee, as we worship thee. Inspire us, O God, move upon our souls, we pray. And I pray, O God, that everything we do here tonight will be done according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start with number 11 in the chorus book tonight. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just live our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Glory to God. We go to number 31 now and sing, "I Know the Lord Will Make a Way." Number 31. There is no telling what God can do if you believe. There is no telling what God can do if you believe. He'll heal your body, He'll save your soul, He'll make you happy, He'll make you whole. There's no telling what God can do if you believe. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. On me. I know the Lord will lay His hand on me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will lay His hand on me. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, it seems appropriate after singing that song to just turn to number 91 and sing without him. Number 91. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I surely fail. Glory to God. Well, you know what? It's so true. We would be completely lost and helpless without the Lord. But we serve a God that has no limitations. We serve a God that can do anything. So why don't we just look across the page and sing number 89, God Can Do Anything. Number 89. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. And God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. And God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm glad we serve an almighty God. The Almighty, a God with no limitations, a God who is never stuck. And you know, He has promised that He will hear our prayers. And we would see more miracles. We would see more answers to prayer if we would just learn to believe. Believe the Lord. Believe His Word. Why don't we go to number 70 and sing that chorus. If you believe, you shall receive. Number 70. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you've got to do is trust and believe. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you've got to do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive.
the Lord care, the good Lord can be saved. Oh, He is just the same today. All you've got to do is trust and believe. You must believe. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We do serve an almighty God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we did get a request here from Shirley Rayhorst, and the thing of it is I don't actually know this chorus. Now, I know that she had requested a while ago and we were going to work on it, but I think we just kind of forgot about it. It's number 151, Be Still and Know. And like I said, I don't know this chorus, but if you can remember how to play it, maybe you could just play it through on the piano a few times and kind of introduce us to it. If you're able, I don't know if you can remember or not, but if you can. Thank you. praise the Lord. What a wonderful chorus. I don't know if I heard that one before, but we'll have to do it again. And I don't mind learning new songs. I think it's a wonderful thing to do. But praise God. So I think what we'll do now is take up the collection, and then we're going to sing one more song and turn it over to Shirley. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy many abundant blessings, for Thy love and Thy care towards us. We thank Thee that Thou hast given us this place where we can come together and gather in Thy name. We thank Thee for all Thy wondrous works, and we ask, O God, for Thy continued guidance. We ask that Thou wouldst lead, guide, and direct us in all that we do, and give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose and Thy glory, for we know that these funds belong to Thee. And I pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst bless the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more chorus before we get started with our Bible study. Number 157, Open Our Eyes, Lord. Number 157.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.
thought in mind, we will go into our Bible study. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It is good to be here tonight. Wonderful to sing the praises of the Lord and worship Him. It's a wonderful thing. And now, you know what? I didn't know if I could play the piano tonight. I had pain in my hands late last night and this morning. And oh, praise the Lord. We prayed. It's pretty good. God is so good. No, He is so good to us. And we had a lot of things, of course, come up these last few weeks. And I guess got a lot of stories to tell. But we have seen the hand of the Lord, that's for sure. We have seen the hand of the Lord. I know last week we made it to Michigan. And this was really beautiful. We were able to baptize almost 95-year-old Marion. And had long hoped for that. I know Dawn, her daughter, had hoped for that for a long time. And she just really wasn't ready, it seemed, those earlier years. But she was near death again this last, about a week before. We were on our way to Nebraska and got a call from Dawn. And she was asking that we would pray with her mother. And they didn't know she was going to live again. And all this and that, and we had talked prior to that about her being baptized, and she had said that she wanted to be baptized now. God had just opened her heart, and here she was, you know, not doing so well. And praise the Lord, we prayed with her. And I'll tell you, last week Thursday we were there with her, and she is doing pretty good, I must say. And I've heard that even better since we baptized her. And it's a miracle. It really is a miracle. God has helped her. It's been a beautiful thing. God is certainly with His people. God certainly knows how to make a way for us. And praise the Lord. We're going to go into His Word tonight, but first of all, let's just pray and talk to Him. You know, it's just a wonderful thing to be able to meditate on God's Word. It's a wonderful thing to know the Lord. And we are privileged. You know, some people really don't get it. And sometimes it takes the very end of one's life before there's that call and there's a response. Some people think they've got forever and put it off and put it off. But we're here tonight because God has called us. And He put it in our hearts that we might serve Him. And praise the Lord, He's led us and He's kept us. And He knows how to do it. He knows how to get us home. And what a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, with grateful hearts for what You have done. Oh God, we thank You for the joy that was set before You, that You endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh Lord, we just thank You for that price that You paid, oh Lord, to redeem us, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with Thy precious blood Thou hast redeemed us, Lord. And we thank You, God, we praise You, Lord, we worship You, Lord, and we ask that You'd be here tonight. We ask that You'd talk to our hearts, Lord. Oh God, we ask, oh Lord, that You'd lead us and guide us, and oh God, make us fit for Thy kingdom, Lord. Oh God, for You're coming one of these days. You're going to come and not tarry, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that You'd help us to prepare our hearts. That You help us to trim our lamps, oh Lord. Oh God, that they would be bright and burning at Thy coming, Lord Jesus. Oh God, that we would be prepared, oh Lord, to meet Thee, Lord. I pray that you talk to us, Lord. You'd show us, O Lord, that path of life, O Lord, that you have for all of us. O Lord, that the strong man be rebuked in every work of the enemy, Lord. I pray that, O Lord, you'd have no advantages here, but, O God, that your presence would take over, Lord, that your spirit would speak to our souls, God. And I pray, O God, that you would draw all men unto yourself, Lord, that you would draw individuals this night, God. O Lord, that there would be a response. O God, that, O God, the gates of heaven would be opened up unto us. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Oh, God, we worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our God is so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 6. Oh, let's see. Just a minute here, please. Okay, Psalm 16. I'm going to read a little bit here. This 16th Psalm. Let's look at verse 8 here as we begin here tonight. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message the path of life. And as we know, that 11th verse there talks about the presence of the Lord as being fullness of joy. And I'll tell you what, I know what it's like to be in God's presence. I know what it's like to be heavy at heart. I know what it's like to have conflicts in one's lives. And, you know, things that are unsettled. But I know one thing. When you get into God's presence, all of that leaves. All of those fears and all of those troubles and all of those wonders. And everything begins to leave because we're in a holy place. We're with the Lord, and he begins to talk to our soul, and he begins to give us that peace that passes all understanding. And indeed, that's the path of life, to be in God's presence, in that sanctuary, in that precious place where God is. And you know, that's where he would have us to be. That's where he would have us to be, and I'm going to challenge anybody who's never been in that place. If you've never been in that place where you knew without a doubt that you were there with God, that you were in his very presence, I'm going to challenge you to get there. Because I'll tell you what, there's no place that compares to that wonderful place. Oh yes, when you're right there with the Lord, you might not see him, but you could sure feel him. You could sure know. And he reassures your soul. He pours out of his spirit. He touches you afresh. All those wonderful things that happen when we're in the presence of the Lord. That fullness of joy. Oh yes, the pleasures forevermore. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to go now to Exodus, the 33rd chapter. And a while ago I was reading this chapter and some things that really were striking in it, and I just hope they'll stand out here tonight. But here we are. It was fairly early in the travels of the Israelite people after they had left Egypt. But the only thing is, Moses had just been up to the mount, and while he was there with God in God's presence, the children of Israel were being mighty naughty. And the story is told in the 32nd chapter, and you know, it seems that they wondered if Moses was ever going to come back, and then they decided they were going to take things into their own hands, and they were going to make themselves a god. Oh, yes, and they did that. Aaron led the way, even, and they broke off the golden earrings that were in their ears. And from that, they made a calf, a golden calf. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't nice. Not only did they make this idol, but they began to worship before that idol. And they were having a nasty orgy. And indeed, it wasn't nice. It wasn't nice at all. There was worship all around that calf. And I'm sure it was a horrendous sight in the sight of God. But anyway, that's what Moses came down to see the people doing this abominable thing. As we know, God was very upset. And, you know, he was so upset that he talked about just doing away with those people, doing away with them, and making a nation out of Moses. But Moses, being the man that he was, interceded for those rebellious people that he had so much trouble with. He interceded for them. He interceded for Aaron. And God heard him. God had mercy. But here we are. Moses even said, you know, he offered to, you know, take their sin upon himself. But God said, no way, Moses. Paraphrasing here a bit. Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. I'll tell you what, that is, you know, a very standing characteristic of God. He does not tolerate sin. And I'll tell you what, there's a day that sin is not going to stand in his presence. Thank the Lord. We have opportunity tonight. We have that privilege tonight to come before the living God and ask him to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a privilege that is. But here we are in the 33rd chapter of Exodus. And the first verse begins by saying, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And it says in verse 2, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Well, we can obviously tell that God was very upset. He was very upset, and you can tell he's trying to disassociate himself with these people. They've, you know, just been out of Egypt so many days, not all that long. And yet here they've fallen into great sin and rebellion, and their hearts were cold, and here they were worshiping that golden calf, that calf that came out of Egypt. And I'll tell you what, God was highly displeased with them. And here, you know, he knew he had made a promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying that he was going to give, you know, that land unto their seed. But, you know, he was so upset with these people that he said in verse 3, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. And I tell you what, God made this known in the face of all the people. And all at once, these evil tidings upset them greatly. It tells us in verse 4, and when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. And no man did put on him his ornaments. They were mourning, and it was not a time to rejoice by any means. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. So Oh, there was pending judgment. You know, God, as I said, was so upset with them, and he was ready to consume them. Oh, I'll tell you what, it is a fearful thing to be in the hands of an angry God. People want to talk about how loving God is, and he is. He does show love beyond any other. But yet, there's another side to God that people don't want to acknowledge. And who wants to be before him when he is angry? Oh, it's a fearful thing to stand in the sight of an angry God. And here he is at this moment. He's ready to consume these rebellious people. And so it is. It says in verse 6, "And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp." Notice here, he didn't put it within the camp. It was unknown at this moment what God was going to do. It was fairly likely, very likely actually, that God was just going to consume them. But here is Moses. He brought forth a tabernacle, a dwelling place there where they could worship. And he brought it without the camp. He pitched it without the camp. It's afar from the camp, it tells us. And it came to pass, it tells us, there were some concerns here. It says that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. I tell you what, we never want to be in that place where we're isolated from God. We never want to be in that place where his anger is stirred to such a point that he could consume us. I'll tell you what, it's a horrible thing to be separated from God and not be able to feel his presence. I know Brother Samuel talked about Saul this last Sunday, and we know the sorry state of Saul, the first king of Israel, how at once, at the first, he had been so humble, and his heart was right, and he led the people properly. But something came into his heart. I believe pride came into his heart. And instead of humbling himself and walking in obedience, he did what he wanted to do. And all little by little, it isolated him from God. Thing after thing happened, and pretty soon, when he felt his need for God, he couldn't find God. God had left him. God had forsaken him because Saul had forsaken God. Saul was doing his own things. He had not submitted his heart to the Lord. And you know, he got so desperate that he went to seek that witch of Endor. He went to seek her because God had departed from him. Oh, we never want to get to that place where God departs from us and we can't feel his presence. We don't know anymore that he is with us. We don't have those reassurances. Oh, I tell you, that is a horrible place to be. And I think these children of Israel were in that horrible place here in this 33rd chapter of Exodus. They didn't know what God was going to do. Oh my, they could easily be consumed. It was not a time to laugh. It was not a time to sing. All they knew is they better get right with God. They better humble themselves. So Moses pitched a tabernacle without the camp, a distance away. It tells us that there were those that had it within their hearts to seek the Lord, that they went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. Oh yes, it's a horrible thing to be in that kind of situation where God is angry with you. I know it also was a horrible day in old Israel too, when under the time of Samuel the prophet, that the ark was taken. Oh yes, Eli had been the high priest, and his sins had led the people into great sins, and very foolishly they allowed a very precious thing, the ark, which represented the presence of the Lord. God had made it such to represent his presence, but they allowed it to be taken into the camp of the enemy. God was not pleased. He did not want them doing such a wicked thing. And it didn't help them by any means at all. They were overtaken. The Philistines overtake them. Eli lost his life. His sons died in that battle. And Phinehas, one of the sons of Eli, died. And his wife was having with child. And the scripture tells us she travailed at that point when she heard that the ark was taken. She travailed in childbirth. And she did not regard that child. She did not look at that child, because there was something that gripped her heart. There was a sorrow that gripped her heart. There was a knowledge that gripped her heart. The ark was taken. God had departed from them, and there was no more hope. And she named that child Ichabod, and then gave up the ghost. Ichabod, meaning the glory, is departed from Israel. Oh, what a horrible state. We never want to be in that situation. Oh, yes, when we stand before God on Judgment Day, we don't want to be that goat on the left. We never want to be there. We must have all things right in our life. We must be rid of sin. We must have given it to the Lord, because sin is not going to stand in God's presence. There's going to be a great separation at that day. Oh yes, the goats on the left are going to hear that terrible condemnation. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I know you not. Oh, we never want to hear that. And thank God we have opportunity tonight to be right with God, don't we? We have opportunity to find that place in God. We have opportunity to find his presence and to make our lives right with an almighty God, so we can be on his right hand at the judgment. But here's Israel in this terrible condition here, not knowing what God was going to do next. It tells us in verse 8 of Exodus 33, "And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle." I'd say they're a bit worried at this moment. They're just standing there. And I'll tell you what, if there was ever a moment to get your heart right, it was right then and there. If there was anything stirring up within them, oh yes, that was the moment to pour it out before Almighty God. It tells us in verse 9, "And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses." Yes, that cloudy pillar came and stood over that tabernacle door, that cloudy pillar that represented the presence of the Lord. And there, God talked with Moses within that tabernacle, that dwelling place. It tells us in verse 10, "And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door." Oh yes, they were attentive now. They were concerned. They were worried. And oh my, there must have been a cry in the heart to get right with God. It tells us, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turneth again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle." Oh, there was faithful Joshua waiting for Moses. "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." Now here is Moses. He doesn't know what to think, because, you know, God had given him this assignment. He told him to bring these people out of Egypt, and God had led them by a mighty hand, doing all kinds of wonders and leading them out, even opening up the sea so that they could cross over on dry land. But here it is, you know, this confusion at the moment. And Moses, I don't believe, is knowing what to think exactly. So he said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." He said, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee." Oh, there was something deep within Moses. He wanted to know God. He needed some reassurances here. And he's pleading with God, if I really have found grace in thy sight, then show me now thy way. Explain to me what is going on. Help me to know what I am to do, that I may know thee, and that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. It seemed like God was trying to disassociate himself from this people. No, he said, in the first verse, the people that which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt. You know, God was trying to push them away. He wasn't at all certain as what he was going to do. But you know, Moses found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Obviously he did, because God said to him in verse 14, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Oh, what a wonderful thing. The presence of the Lord that goes with his children, that leading and guiding by his still, small voice that speaks to our soul, that leads us, that guides us. And here was the reassurance that Moses needed. God said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And Moses said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." I like this. I can understand what Moses was saying. You know, we know that we too need the presence of the Lord. We know that we must abide in the vine, and that we must be in God. And we know that without him, we could do nothing, as it tells us in John, the 15th chapter. We can do nothing without God. And I can understand what Moses was getting here. If, you know, your presence doesn't go with us, then don't carry me out. Don't use me in this way. Don't carry us up hence from this area, from this land, from this people. I couldn't bear it. I couldn't do it if thy presence doesn't go with us. And I think that's what we know too. If God is not with us, we could not walk this road. We could not stand for that which is right. We could not do that which is right in the sight of the Lord and be accountable servants. There would be no way. But here it is, Moses again pleading with the Lord and acknowledging the fact that if your presence doesn't go with us, if you don't go with us, Lord, there is no way. There is no way. Can you imagine this tremendously huge multitude of people that had left Egypt, and now they're in that wilderness, that terrible wilderness where there were serpents and scorpions. There wasn't plentiful water. There wasn't food. It was, you know, surrounded by enemies. And, you know, there was no way a great multitude of people could have made it alone through that wilderness. So Moses is pleading with God. And praise the Lord. He says in verse 16 again, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us?" So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And we know, too, that if we're serving the Lord, we're separated. We are to be holy. We are that chosen generation, that holy nation, that royal priesthood, that peculiar people that's been called out of the world, that's been called out of Egypt into the glorious presence of the Lord, in that glorious place that the Lord would lead and guide us. And we too, we could say with Moses, if your presence doesn't go with us, then carry us not out hence. We couldn't make it without you, Lord. If you don't lead us, if you don't guide us, if you don't direct us, we couldn't make it, Lord. There'd be no way. We're in the world, and we're not to be of the world. But we couldn't do this without God. We could do nothing without God. Praise the Lord. Moses found grace in the sight of the Lord. And it tells us, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Oh yes, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows us by name. He knows who we are, where we are, and what we're all about. He knows every detail. He knows our heart. He knows us by name. And it tells us that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Oh yes, that shameful iniquity that will not stand in God's presence. And here it is in verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Oh, Moses wanted more and more. There was something deep in Moses. And he's asking now, he's asking Almighty God to show him his glory. He wanted to see God. And God said unto him in verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and I will cover thee with mine hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Oh, I'll tell you what, those longings of the soul. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like being in the presence of the Lord. As it tells us in the 16th Psalm, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. No, there's nothing on this earth to compare with being in the presence of the Lord. Yes, to know that God is with you, that you are with God, and that you are at peace and all is well. There's nothing like that at all in this world that could compare to those wonderful reassurances, those times in God's presence. And I'll tell you what, yes, God did tell Moses, you can't see my face and live. But I'll tell you what, there's a time when we're going to see his face. Revelation 22. Oh, where it talks about that city of God, that city that comes down from God out of heaven. And here God is showing John that city. Oh, yes, in verse 1, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And look at this, verse 4. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. There's coming that day when we're going to be fully in the presence of the Lord. We're going to be around that throne with all those, that great multitude. Oh, yes, that has surrendered their life to the Lord, that know God. Oh, yes, that have made it home. We're going to be there in that crowd. Oh, praise the Lord. And we're going to see His face. We're going to see His face. And His name is going to be in our foreheads. Oh, I know that's a beautiful thing. That's what we have to look forward to. You know, I do recall that time back in Spokane, Washington, when there was a baptism and Pastor Meyer saw that vision of God. He could see the throne of God. He could see there was one that sat on that throne. And I'll tell you what, I didn't see that vision, but I could feel the presence of the Lord. I could tell that God was there in that place. I'll tell you what, it was so lingering. It was so thick. You didn't want to leave. You were in God's presence, and that's what it is. When you're in God's presence, you don't want to leave. He makes us well. He gives us hope. Gives us peace. Gives us that joy that comes from Him. Oh, that place where His presence is. That place of fullness of joy. And yes, I can understand why Moses told God, oh God, if you don't go with us, if your presence does not go with us, then Lord, I want to stop this right now. There's no use to go on. I couldn't do it. There is no way, God, if you don't go with us, there is no hope. But praise the Lord, God heard Moses. And He had mercy. He had mercy. And He even showed Himself to Moses the best way possible. I tell you what, sometimes when I get praying, you know, and you get to feel the Lord, and you know, you just wish you could have a little glimpse of that place up there, you know, just see that throne, or just get a feel for it, you know. I suppose we wouldn't want to come back because it's such a wonderful thing. It's going to be the greatest joy that we could ever imagine. But praise the Lord, what a wonderful thing it is to be in the presence of the Lord, to be part of those that have been called out, oh yes, that chosen generation, oh yes, that holy nation, oh yes, that holy, that peculiar people, those that have been called out, that church, that ecclesia, church of the living God, those that have been called out. Amen. And I'll tell you, God does want His people to be separated. So it tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh yes, He's called us to that holy calling. And what a special place He puts us in. Oh yes, when His glory fills in, when His glory comes down and it takes over, and oh, you know that you're in that special place with the Lord. There's nothing like it, is there? Nothing like it to compare. Jacob got a taste of it. If we turn to the 28th chapter of Genesis, we can, again, think on Jacob's story here a little bit. Oh yes, he had left his homeland. And he didn't know what was up. He didn't know what was going to happen to him. He didn't know if he'd ever make it home again. He didn't know if he'd ever see his loved ones again. Esau was very upset with him, his brother. Esau wanted to kill him. And here he was fleeing. He's going to Padan Aram, and you know, he didn't know what God was going to do. But that night, it tells us that he came to a certain place in verse 11. He tarried there all night because the sun was set. He took all the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. God gave him a dream. He says, it says here, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And I'll tell you what, Jacob awakened out of his sleep, it tells us in verse 16, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Tells us he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? There is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't think dreadful means the sense that we're familiar with, but it was awesome. It was unbelievable. He had had a vision that God gave him, a dream that came from God, that ladder reaching up on the earth and to the top of heaven, and angels ascending and descending on it. What a wonderful dream. And God above that ladder, God was there. What God was doing, he was introducing himself to Jacob. I know Jacob had heard of God. I'm sure he had heard of God all the days of his life at that point. But he didn't really know God. And here's God introducing himself to him. And so it is with us likewise, isn't it? We may have heard of God for years and years, but that doesn't mean that we know him. That doesn't mean that we've been in his presence, that we've been associated closely with him. But here it is, God having mercy on Jacob. Jacob in his trouble. Jacob dealing with the unknown and in the great trouble that he had left behind. And his brother Esau and his threat to kill him. But there God introduced himself to Jacob, telling him who he was. I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Oh yes, he's making himself known, and he's reassuring him. He's giving him the promises that had been given to his father. And he's telling him that he's going to be with him. He's going to be with him. His presence is going to go with Jacob. God is going to be with him. And what a wonderful reassurance this was. Oh yes, he was going to know more trouble. He was going to go through hard times. But God was going to be with him. And God was going to bring him back. And praise the Lord, so it is. We're all in this strange land. We're pilgrims. We're strangers. We don't know what tomorrow may hold. We know what trouble is. We know what conflicts are. We know what confusion is. But yet, we have the promises of God. And we can rest in those promises. And we can know what it's like to be in the presence of the Lord. Just as Jacob was in God's presence, he realized, surely the Lord is in this place. He didn't know when he laid down that night what God was going to do. He didn't know that God was with him at that point. But God made himself known to Jacob. And he could see, he could understand that God was there with him in that place. And God would go with him. And those promises that were given to Abraham and Isaac were now given to him. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful moment. You know, I remember years ago, my son Nathaniel, Nate, was, I imagine he was doing something naughty. He was in church, and for some reason his dad told him he better get up here to the altar and pray. And Nate hadn't done that before. He hadn't really done that before, but there he was. He came up to this place and he began to pray. And what a thing. Because the presence of the Lord came down. And I could just remember, he was just a little boy. But he said, oh, that was so wonderful. And he was touched by the Lord. And you know, it was just such a moment. He seemed like he couldn't really express it. But I knew that he had been touched by God. And that God had dealt with his heart. And anything, oh, that was wrong, he had given to the Lord. What a beautiful moment. What a beautiful thing to be touched by God, to feel his presence. And I could remember that little boy saying, oh, that was so wonderful. God was there. God met him here at the altar. And yes, that's his promise. Yes, where two or three are gathered together in his name, he promised that he would be in our midst. He promised that if we would draw nigh unto God, he would draw nigh unto us. Yes, we would cleanse our hands and come to him with our hearts and bear them before the Lord and draw nigh unto him. Asking him to cleanse us and to forgive us our sins. Oh, God is faithful to do so. Amen. And he's no respecter of persons. Amen. And, you know, I mentioned Dawn's mother, Marion, the one that we were able to baptize last week. And I remember how that was with her 3 years ago when, you know, she was so sick. And again, they thought she was going to die at that point. And Dawn, you know, calling me and saying, Shirley, will you please pray with Mother? Will you please pray with her? And tell you what, you probably know this story well. I prayed with her and I felt like nothing happened. I got down on my knees. I began to pray in tongues. Pretty soon the phone rang again. And this time, this woman was pouring out her heart. Oh, she was saying, Lord Jesus, I need you. Come into my heart, Lord. I need you, Lord Jesus. Please help me. And, you know, she was crying out. She was pouring out of her heart. Yes, she was in God's presence. And God was touching her. God was making himself known to her. Here she was, this lady in her 90s. And God was calling out to her. She was finding that place in God's presence. And what a wonderful thing it was. She didn't die, but she lived to tell the story. And she recited it again when we saw her just last week. She said, Shirley, I don't know what it is, and she's pretty much blind. In reality, Mary is pretty blind. But she said, all I know is when we were praying, I could see your face. You were right there with me. And I just marvel because God did it. God brought me there in that sense. And, you know, God, more than anything, was making himself known to this precious woman. And now we had that great privilege of baptizing her in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing that was. Praise the Lord. Brother Tim put her down in the water as just best we could. She's pretty humped over. She's pretty frail. But there she was. It was an act of faith. And I know God saw it. She said she felt different after that experience. And what a joy it was. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Under the old covenant, God had them make them a sanctuary that he could dwell in that sanctuary. That was his plan for old covenant Israel. that he would, they would make a sanctuary, a dwelling place for him to dwell in. And he assured them that's where he's going to meet with them. That's where he's going to talk to them. There, he was going to commune. They were going to see and sense that his presence was there in that sanctuary. And I know that when the tabernacle was built, that's where God dwelt. When the temple was built, when Solomon built the temple, oh yes, the presence of the Lord came down as they worshipped him. That was his dwelling place. But there was going to be something beyond that. At that point, under that covenant, there was a temple where he would reside, where he would come, where they would meet with him, where they would be told the law, where they could communicate with Almighty God, where they could bring their offerings before God and find that atonement for their sins, that temporary atonement in reality. But God had something greater beyond that. He had a plan. Oh yes, there was something beyond that, because it wasn't always going to be necessary for them to build a temple built with hands. There was going to be something beyond that. And Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, talks about what God was going to do under his new covenant. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. What a wonderful promise. Of course, it came to pass. Oh yeah, as Jesus walked this earth, He was bringing forth that new covenant. It was going to be a new covenant in his blood. And he was preparing them. He was teaching it. He was making the way. He was leading the people. In John, the 7th chapter, he spoke of that which was to come. It says in verse 37, John 7, In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But praise the Lord, it was going to happen. That living water was going to come. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Oh yes, it tells us he was speaking of that new covenant. He was speaking of the presence of the Lord that would come and dwell in the lives of his people. Oh yes, that new covenant that would not be like the old covenant where they would have to gather to a dwelling place on earth in order to find the Lord. No, it wouldn't be like that, or where they would have to seek a prophet or a priest to know the Lord. But no, he was going to put his Spirit, he was going to put his law in the inward parts so that all could know the Lord. We could all have a personal relationship with the Lord. We could all know him as our fathers. We could all be his sons and daughters. Oh yes, he would take that law, he would write it on the tables of our heart, in our inward parts, and he will be our God, and we will be his people. And what a wonderful thing beyond that He said, I will forgive their iniquity. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will no longer remember their sins. Yes, it was going to be a plan. Oh, yes, a plan that would be complete and total. It'd be a plan that all of us could find that place in God, that tabernacle, the Most High, that dwelling place would be within His people. He would come and dwell in a people. Praise the Lord. It happened on the day of Pentecost, didn't He? Yes, He had told them, you know, I'm with you now there in John, the 14th chapter, but I'm going to be in you. I'm going to be in you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to come unto you. And sure enough, on the day of Pentecost, oh yes, that Spirit of the living God came down. Oh yes, all those that were in that upper room, that 120 individuals that were in the upper room were all filled with the Holy Ghost as the Spirit of God came down and they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. They were being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's no wonder Peter could stand up there. He could tell them, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. There, that second chapter of Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh yes, it came to pass. God did not leave us comfortless. He made a way that we could be in the presence of the Lord. Oh yes, He made a way that we could come to Him and know Him as our Lord and Savior. He made a way that we could sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus and know without a doubt that He is in our midst, that He dwells with us, and that He is our Father, that we are His children. He knows how to lead us. He knows how to direct us. He knows how to guide us. There's nothing too hard for Him. And His promises are yea and amen. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing that is. In the third chapter of Acts, after that miracle there of the lame man who was healed, Peter again spoke to those people who had crucified Jesus Christ, the Jewish people. He was speaking to them, and he was very bold. He told them to their face what they had done, that they had killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, here in Acts the third chapter, verse 15. He said in verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And then he said, now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. He told them, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, whom before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. unto you first. God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Oh, praise the Lord. The presence of the Lord. And here, as Peter is preaching here to those that were gathered around, oh, those that were wondering what had happened, he's telling them to repent, to be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. All those wonderful times of refreshing that come from his presence when he sends Jesus Christ, which was preached unto you. Yes, when he sends his Spirit. What is the Holy Ghost? That's the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ. He is sending forth his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into our very being. That Spirit that was in God. The Spirit that was in Jesus. The Spirit of the Almighty. Oh, what a wonderful time we have in the presence of the Lord. What a wonderful moment it is when his presence fills our temple, our bodies, and we can know, we can feel him, we can be reassured, we can feel that peace that passes all of our understanding. We can be in that place, oh, just as Jacob found himself in the presence of the Lord. So we can find ourselves in that place, oh, that path of life that the psalmist wrote of. Psalm 16, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Oh, that wonderful place where the presence of the Lord comes down, and we know, we can feel, we can tell, we know that the Lord is with us. Those times of refreshing that come from his presence. Tell you what, it's not enough for that to happen just once. We need these times. We need to be in his presence. It's not enough to feel it once a year. But we need these moments with the Lord. We need these special places with God. This little sanctuary where everything else vanishes. Our mind is stayed upon the Lord, and the cares of this world begin to fade. And all at once, we know nothing else matters. We know what hope we have deep in our heart. We are very reassured of his promises. We know all is well because there we are, in that place with the Most High. Oh, yes. What a wonderful place it is. We never want to be in that place where he's left us, where his presence is far from us. We never want to get into that place like Saul managed to do. And I can understand why David in Psalms 51 wrote, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Verse 9. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. And then he said, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Well, I'll tell you what, there's no place like the presence of the Lord. And as Moses entreated the Lord, God Almighty, oh God, if thy presence go not with me, then I want to stop right now. I can't go forward. I could do nothing without you, God. We could never make it through this wilderness without you. Oh God, don't leave us. Oh God, don't forsake us. Oh God, be with us. Take us to that place where thou art. Take us to that place where thy presence is. O God, restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Uphold us with thy free spirit. Oh God, cast us not away from thy presence. Oh God, don't take thy Holy Spirit from us. Oh yes, that's a cry that comes forth. As we're pilgrims, we're strangers here on this earth. And more than anything, we need those moments with the Lord. We can't afford to become involved in the things of this world. We can't afford to engage in the things that will not last. You know, Jesus said that where our treasures are, that is the response to where our heart is. Where your heart is, there where these treasures be also. You know, that's the way it is. It tells the things that we seek after, the things that we think upon. It all is a factor in the way we live our lives, in what we value, what we hold dear. I thank God we have opportunity. We have opportunity. We can find that place no matter where we are. But here we have a special opportunity even here tonight to gather ourselves together, knowing that if two or three are gathered together in the name of the Lord, that He said He would be there in our midst. We have this privilege. We can come to Him. We can kneel before Him. We can raise holy hands unto God without fear, without doubting. We can find that place where He is. We can find that holy ground, oh, that holy ground where God is, that place where His presence is. He's no respecter of persons. What He did for somebody else, He could do for you. Amen. And if you've never been there, it's time. It's time to be in that place. Oh, yes, if you will draw nigh to God, if you will give Him your heart, if you will cry out to Him, if you will surrender that will, those emotions, all those things that stand between you and God, unto God, if you give that to the Lord, He'll come down and meet with you. Oh, that place where God is. Yes, He would meet with them in the temple under His old covenant, there at the mercy seat. His presence, His glory would come down, and they could see that His presence was there. But we have that privilege to come to Him tonight as individuals. Yes, as individuals, we can all find Him in that secret place of the Most High. We can all gather to that place where He is. And no, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. Oh, yes. He said He would come unto us. He would draw nigh unto us if we will draw nigh to Him and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is. He shows us that path of life. Yes, in His presence is fullness of joy. Yes, at His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Oh yes, it leads to that heavenly sanctuary where we all will be gathered together forever in the presence of the Lord. Thank the Lord, but He gives us these opportunities now. And praise the Lord, we can find that place tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just ask that You would talk to our hearts. God, I ask, O Lord, that You'd make Yourself known, Lord. I just pray, O God, that You'd help each and every individual to find that place where Thou art, O Lord. O God, that place, O Lord, where Thy presence comes down, takes away the vacuum, oh, takes away the disappointment, takes away the tears, takes away the sorrows. O God, where You take away the confusion, Lord. I pray, O Lord, that You come down tonight, Lord. I pray, O Lord, that there would be a reaching out to You, Lord. I pray that there would be a response. O Lord, now while it is yet day. O God, while Thou art yet calling, Lord. O God, for that night is coming, that when no man can work, O Lord, that moment when no man can work. And I pray, O God, that You'd help us to prepare, to find that place now, O Lord, before this is over, that place where You are. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm sure everyone saw this coming, but in closing tonight, we're going to sing number 26 in the chorus book, In His Presence, There's Fullness of Joy, number 26.
In His presence, there's fullness of joy.
Prayer in Jesus' name.